listening to the Arsenal Ramble.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Ramble. Today I am thrilled to have the opportunity to speak with Roy Massey, the ex-Arsenal Assistant Academy Manager and author of the recently released book, A Life in Football and a Coach, The Stars. Roy has had a fascinating career in football, beginning as a player before transitioning to coaching, scouting and talent development. He spent 16 seasons at Arsenal working with Liam Brady during the Arsene Wenger glory years. In his book, Roy shares his personal journey from overcoming injuries as a player to discovering and nurturing young talent behind the scenes. Through his experiences, Roy offers valuable insights into the world of football and the dedication it takes to achieve success at the highest level. Join us as we delve deeper into Roy's story and learn more about the wisdom he has gained throughout his illustrious career. Welcome, Roy. Thank you for coming on to the Arsenal Ramble today. Really appreciate that. How are you?
Well, it's a pleasure to be speaking to you, and I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Glad you're well. Should we just dive straight into it? Because, you know, I've really enjoyed reading your book. It's been a great read, and I've got tons of questions that I want to fire your way. Let's crack straight on. Early on in the book, you talk about your career as a footballer and how the serious injuries forced you to end that footballing career at quite an early age. You then went into PE teaching and ultimately went into the role of discovering and nurturing talent at various football clubs, but initially at Colchester, I believe. So what inspired you to do this and take this route?
Well, I think, which happens to many footballers who perhaps don't have a greatly successful career or after packing through injury, like I did at 27 years of age, the specialist after three operations on my knee said that I shouldn't play football as a professional anymore. And of course, at that stage, okay, I had teaching qualifications as a PE teacher, which was going to stand me in good stead when my career had finished. But also, I wanted to stay in the game as much as possible, and I decided at 27 to go on my coaching awards and take my coaching badges. And went to Lillishall with a friend of mine, Graham Smith, who was a goalkeeper at Colchester at the time, and took my badges there. Fortunately, I passed that first time, which was a full badge. I was inspired by a lad called Graham Taylor, and I'm sure you know Graham Taylor, who played many games for Lincoln. And at 27, Graham was taking me for my badge. He'd 4 or 5 years earlier decided he wanted to be a coach. So, and I think a lot of players at the low level perhaps want to continue training and playing in the game and getting the qualifications at an early age to give them experience of coaching, sets them in good stead for a future career in coaching.
Yeah, wow. That's it's fascinating, isn't it, how one sort of little stepping stone in life can then become onto another path, and ultimately that's led you then to then take another stepping stone to Norwich City. And this is where you really started to make waves in the footballing industry, I gather. And essentially, you revolutionised their youth programme. So how did you become involved then at Norwich City, and what was it like working there?
Well, I'd had 20 years working for the Colchester United Youth Development Programme, and we did produce quite a few players at that level, including Perry Groves, Andy and Allinson, who went on to play for Arsenal Football Club, which was great opportunities for them, starting at Colchester United. A guy called Gordon Bennett rang me one day. Unfortunately, my wife had passed away with cancer only a year before, so I'd stopped coaching and obviously grieving for my wife and my three children. So it was a difficult year for me. So I stopped the coaching, carried on with the teaching. And from there, I had a call out of the blue from Gordon Bennett. he asked me if I would like to join him at Norwich City and help develop his youth programme. He just started there, and he thought that East Anglia wasn't a particularly good area for football talent, and he wanted me to work in the London area and take boys from the London area, because obviously very talented players came from the area of London, and you can tell that with the youngsters that came through West Ham, Tottenham, and the Arsenal youth policy. So this is what I did, joined him, and set about setting up development centres in the North London area to take boys up to Norwich.
And like I said, you clearly made waves in that industry, because none other than Liam Brady obviously spotted this and noticed that you were you know, had an eye for talent in the London area and were taking them over to Norwich. And he thought, well, you know, if he's got an eye for it here in London, then why he should be working for a London club in Arsenal. So, so what did it feel like when Liam Brady approached you? Was it out of the blue, or was it something of?
Well, before speaking about Liam's phone call to me, I managed to, Gordon Bennett was ahead of his time, and he said, Roy, go around the North London area and look for the boys at 13 and 14 years of age. The London clubs at that time, before academy football started, were looking at boys from 15 years of age upwards. So I was going around to the London area, and 13 and 14 year olds, 12 year olds, were recruited, and we were training them and at Potter's Bar and Brentwood. And I would take boys up to Norwich to train during the holiday times. We'd have a great time there. Sometimes of an evening, they'd be in a hotel, and we'd take them to Great Yarmouth and take them on the fairground, where we had free rides because the chairman or vice chairman of Norwich owned the pleasure park in Great Yarmouth. So the boys had a great time, and they loved being at Norwich. When it was decided that clubs should be looking at 13 and 14-year-olds, the Arsenal scouts were looking then at these boys who were already at Norwich. And when they were approaching the parents, the parents were saying, well, he's playing at Norwich. And it came back to Liam Brady. All the scouts were saying, how come all these lads from North London, who were the top players, are going up to Norwich? So they found out that I was in charge and taking these boys. And on a number of occasions, some of the coaches were very disappointed that, or the scouts were disappointed that they couldn't sign boys for Arsenal that are already at Norwich. So Liam Brady asked me, or contacted me, to say, would I bring our 11s, 12s and 13s over to play the Arsenal 11, 12s and 13s. We beat them fairly comfortably. And then after those games, Liam thought, well, I think we'd have to have Roy Massey working for us at the academy, because within a few months, the academies were going to be started. Howard Wilkinson had set up the rules that the clubs could take on 8 and 9-year-olds, which was revolutionary. Mm. We didn't realise what this would entail, because we've been used to playing and looking at 13 and 14-year-olds. But to look at lads of 8 years of age was a daunting experience. And that's why he brought me in to set up the academy.
Yeah, that is such a, like you say, a revolutionary change. And to allow clubs to attract and train children from 8 years and upwards, it was such a huge difference from before. And how did this impact the way Arsenal develops young talent? And obviously you were a big part of this from the start. How did this impact it? The way Arsenal developed young talent?
Well, obviously, when I joined Arsenal on the 1st of March 1998. The academies were starting the following August. And when I started at Arsenal, had 3 months to get a group of 15 or 16 8-year-olds to be good enough to play for the Arsenal Academy. Now, that was a daunting experience. And where am I going to find these players within 3 months of 8 years of age to be representing Arsenal the following season? In my wisdom, I asked the scouts to let me know the telephone numbers of all the team managers in their area of the top two or three clubs. And what I did, I contacted the team managers, asked them if they'd bring two or three of their best players to a training centre for a weekend's game so that we could have a look at some of the boys in order to pick some of the best boys for the academy. It was a great response. We had about 50 or 60 boys came over for the first weekend's trials. Somewhat disappointed in the standard, to be fair, but we weren't to know what the standard of an 8-year-old was. And
yes,
looking through the names of all the boys that were on the course, many of the boys were the same surname as the team managers. So we found the team managers had been handled by the team managers. The team managers obviously sent their own boys for the trial rather than their best players. And really, when I think about it, why should they send their best players, which they want for their own team, to play for Arsenal? So it was a very difficult time at that moment. But we had to select 15 or 16 boys from that group for our first academy games. The season didn't go great. And by the end of the season, we only gave 1 year contract to all the boys. And so we had to assess the lads after the first season as to whether they should stay at Arsenal or not. And over half the boys we felt weren't up to the standard. So now I've got the difficult task of telling parents that after 1 year and 1 year of excitement, you can imagine a parent and his 8-year-old boy, now we've played for Arsenal, that I've got to dampen their enthusiasm and tell them that they're not quite up to the level and that they should move back to their Sunday football. This was obviously a difficult task, and I didn't really know how to handle this situation. It was the first time I've had to handle this. So
yeah,
I thought I'd ring the parents first of all and tell them and then ask them to come in and see me. And my first call, I rang a parent and I said, I'm sorry that young Charlie won't be with us for next season. He hasn't quite reached the standard. And I heard him then, he said, well, just one moment, Roy. And I heard him shout, Charlie, Arsenal have just let you go. And then he came back on the phone and he said, Roy, my lad has just run upstairs. He's crying his eyes out because you've let him go. And then he put the phone down on me. So a very, very difficult situation. And it was a difficult situation for all the other boys that we had to let go. So the following year, I thought, said that we would not release a boy after 1 year at the Arsenal. We'd give him at least 2 years, and that's how it was. And it was far better to give boys a 2-year contract at nines and tens.
That really does seem like one of the biggest challenges, doesn't it, of the role. Obviously, there's the highs and the jubilance of telling somebody that they are making it onto the next level and they're going to progress with the academy. But then the flip side of the coin is there's the other half of the boys that you've got to send home and say they're not quite good enough. Was there any other challenges that you faced as the academy structure was being formed?
Just to help on that challenge, it was easier in the future when we gave boys 2 years, because then we gave the boys a half-term report, so that halfway through the season, the parents and boys would come in and you could point out the highlights. So if a boy had to work on a particular skill, and it was easier to say, look, he's got to improve on this area of his game, otherwise he might not be taken on for the next season. So at least then you're giving the boys and the parents an impression that maybe they won't be at the Arsenal in a year or two's time. rather than feeling a comfort zone, thinking the boys are going to be there until they're 16 years of age.
Yeah, and it gives them a chance to work on the areas that you felt required improvement. Yeah, that's
exactly
that's brilliant.
And it's up to the coaches then. It's up to the coaches then to work on their deficiencies, if you like. And then you've done all the best you can, and then parents can't complain if things are working against their sons. But it is a very difficult, even today, I'm sure. The academy football is great in one sense, and I think it has been a blessing for English football. I would think that the England team, they've done so well over the last few years on the world stage, and I would say that all those players playing for the England squad started as academy players at the ages of 8 years of age, whereas before academies really kicked in, England were second best internationally, and I'm sure that was because boys weren't recruited until they were 15, and they didn't have the professional coaching and training that boys have got today. So it has proved very worthwhile, the academy football, but on saying that, there's lots of disappointments along the way when parents do think their boys are going to stay there at the academy for years and their lads are going to become a professional footballer. But for most people, sadly, that isn't the case. And it was always my situation to tell parents that, you know, if you've got the best 9-year-old in London, it doesn't mean a thing. But if you've got the best 19-year-old in London, then you might have a player on your hands. And in my experience, seeing so many talented 9-year-olds not make the grade, you've got a feeling that they're going to be players, but for one reason or another, they don't make it. And then there's the other lads that come along just to enjoy their game. Parents don't put them under pressure whatsoever. And they're not the best players at 8 and 9 years of age, but they work at it. You know, their talent comes through their own enthusiasm, and then often those want to make it. And that's been my experience, seeing so many boys playing in league football and having a good career who weren't necessarily the best players in their age group. So it is a fascinating situation how youngsters do develop in their football skills.
Yeah, now that is fascinating. The boys that have the drive and the enthusiasm to train and work harder tend to be the ones that get there. Yeah, that is fascinating. Can you name some of the young talents that you helped discover during your time at Arsenal, and what made them stand out to you? I know Jack Wilshere, for one, is full of praise for you. He stated that he sees you as a father figure to him. So, can you name any that stood out to you at your time during Arsenal?
Well, as you say, I mean, Jack Wilshere was outstanding. I mean, he was outstanding when he came to us from Luton Town. I mean, to be fair, Luton Town spotted him, and he was at Luton. And I remember my scout gave me a ring to say that he'd seen a player playing for Luton against Barnet. The scout was Sean O'Connor. And he said, the lad's name is Jack Wilshere, and we should go and have a look at him. He's only 9. So he was outstanding then, and we paid compensation. We had him down for a trial, paid compensation to Luton Town, and we could see that he was going to be a special player. And he was one of the few lads that at a really young age that you really had a feeling for. Unfortunately, his injuries got the better of him. It did ruin his career. Career, he could have been a top player, although he did play for England and did well, but the injuries really curtailed his full potential. But a story about Jack is when we went to a tournament in Belgium, and we reached the semi-final. It was so competitive, but we're in the semi-finals against PSV Eindhoven, and the lad who was looking after us in Belgium said, "Roy, Jack Wilshere, if he has a good game in the next match, then he's going to be player of the tournament." And for me, it was always great to have a player of the tournament rather than winning the tournament, because winning we're in the development stage, not on winning matches particularly, although it's great to win, but we're looking at developing individual players in academy football to get in your first team. So I thought, well, to motivate Jack, I'll take him upstairs and show him the big trophy that he would get if he had a good game. And I said, Jack, look, if you have a good game in this match, then that trophy is going to be yours. He was nearly as big as him because he's only a little lad at even at 12. And he beamed and smiled. He said, oh, thank you, Roy. And anyway, the game kicked off. And in the first kickoff, the PSV Eindhoven centre forward, he played the ball out to the left winger. And Jack started running off after the ball. He's sprinting. I'm saying, slow down, Jack. And he, as the left winger received the ball, Jack dived into the tackle with both feet. He knocked the ball and the player into the crowd. The crowd booed and jeered, and the referee ran across to him and he's reaching for his card. And I thought, oh no, he's going to get the yellow card now. It wasn't the yellow card, it was a red card. So he was sent off after 1 minute, and a tearful Jack came off the pitch. But what it highlighted was the real competitiveness that Jack Wilshere had. So, and it's nice to see that he's involved with the reserves now, with the youth side, and he's coach of the youth side. So there's another lad with injury. He's got a chance of moving on in the game and doing very well for himself on the coaching side.
Mm. Almost echoes yourself to a degree, really, with the injuries that hampered his playing career, and now the an academy or a youth side coach. You know, it does have similarities to you. Yeah, it's really nice to see.
It does, and but we're talking about other players that came through the academy. I've been speaking to Alex Iwobi's dad today, and Alex Iwobi, who went for £35 million to Everton. And although Everton are struggling a little bit, but Alex has had a very good season with them. And again, Alex wasn't one of the best players in the group. In fact, we were talking to his dad today in that when he was 16 and he had to speak to Liam Brady about getting a scholarship and a professional contract, well, there were five boys in Alex's team that were offered a one-year scholarship and a two-year professional contract. They were offered a pro contract there and then. Whereas Alex came out of the office not feeling too happy because he'd only been offered a scholarship. And his dad, great dad as he is, didn't take the hump over that and thought, well, my lad's as good as those lads. Why have they got pro contracts and my lad has? And he said to Alex, listen, Alex, on the way home, you're going to take the scholarship, you're going to work as hard as you possibly can, and you're going to earn your professional contract. And that's what he did. And now he's a Premier League player. And the other players been anywhere near the standard that Alex has been. Two or three lads of those boys perhaps don't play now, or they're only playing local football. Another one in that group was Chuba Akpom, and he's now resurrecting his career and doing very well at Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I've seen another that. Lad top scorer, or one of the top scorers.
Yeah, he's doing very well, Chuba. But another lad who didn't show overly great promise was the lad Chris Willock, who is now starring for Newcastle United. And his brother, Chris, was an outstanding young player. And we thought Chris was going to be the top, top player, and Joe perhaps not. But Joe's developed, moved on. Chris is still doing well. He's had a few injuries, but he's at Queen's Park Rangers. But Joe Willock has surprised everybody in the way that he suddenly from... He didn't even show that potential at 15 or 16, but when he's got a scholarship, I think he's gone up and realised how serious this game is and that he'd had to settle down and work hard in order to become a professional footballer. And this is what he's done. Mm. He's done well.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we want to go
back to what you said earlier.
Exactly.
Sorry.
But the other, another fascinating story is the one of Nathan Teller. Who Nathan Stein, when he was 8 years of age, as a little lad, lots of pace, lots of enthusiasm, lovely lad, not particularly an outstanding player in his age group. He got a scholarship at Arsenal, and then he left Arsenal to go to Southampton. They offered him a pro contract. He wasn't quite up to Arsenal standard. And then I'd lost touch with him, but then I knew he was just in and out of the first team for the last season or so. And then his dad rang me at the beginning of the season and said he's going to Burnley and he's going on loan to Burnley. Now, this is a fascinating story that Nathan, he scored 16 goals or more for Burnley, which has put Burnley into the Premiership. And his home, his club that he's on loan from, Southampton, they've been relegated. So I'm going to be interested to see what happens to Nathan, whether he stays in the Premier League at Burnley or whether he has to fulfil his contract at Southampton in the Championship.
Yeah. I mean, there's also some other big names that you've worked with that might not necessarily have made it at Arsenal but have gone on to have good careers, like Benik Afobe, I should say. There was Nico Yanaris, who's actually turned 30 today. So, yeah, there's all sorts of...
Is he really? Well, I'm getting old then.
That's what...
Yeah, well... We have had, there's been some interesting, there's been some interesting situations where boys have come through in their different ways. And I've got to say, one goalkeeper came to me when he was 14 with his mum and his dad. And I needed an under 14 goalkeeper to play in a tournament. Because the tournaments were based from January to December in age groups, whereas the academy football starts from September through to August. So this particular age group that I was going to take abroad didn't have a goalkeeper. But a lad called Danny Bentley came along, and I thought, well, he's not too bad. I'll take him. I'll keep him around so they can come on this tournament with us. And... after the tournament, I had a word with Liam Brady to see if we should sign him, and Liam thought, not quite up to the standard. So I did speak to Mum and Daniel and said, look, if you stay around at the club, we can't sign you. We don't think he's quite up to it at the moment. But if he stays around and trains with Alex Welsh two nights a week, and I said to him, get yourself a Sunday club that's bottom of the league, so that you're going to have plenty to do as a goalkeeper. And this advice he took. And by the time he was 16, he wasn't quite again up to having a scholarship with the Arsenal teams. So we recommended him, Steve Leonard recommended him down to Southend. So he started his scholarship at Southend, and then lo and behold, by the time he's 19, 20, he's making his debut and playing in the first team at Southend, which was great. And then he gets a transfer after a couple of years at Southend he went to Brentford, and he did well for two or three years. And then he had a move. Brentford weren't in the Premier League at that time. He's gone on to Bristol City for £4 million. And only a few weeks ago, he was transferred to Wolverhampton Wanderers, and I saw him playing for Wolverhampton Wanderers against Manchester United and having a great game. Wow. So, you know, there's a story for any young lad who might be told he's not quite up to it by the time when he's a schoolboy. But if you persevere, then you can still go on and make the grade.
That's it. That's the common theme, isn't it, between all of these players we've talked about, that drive, determination, that competitiveness and will to want to make it as a professional footballer.
No doubt about that. I mean, attitude is all important. As well, obviously, you've got to have some natural ability. You've got to have a football brain, which maybe you're born with that. You've got to have so much enthusiasm for the game and at the same time have that desire and determination to succeed if you want to be involved in professional football.
Exactly. And I have to ask, were there any players that you saw at Arsenal in your 16 seasons there that didn't quite make it and you let go that you then went on to regret later?
Quite a few, to be fair. But no, obviously the main one, and I think most people have heard of a player called Harry Kane. And Harry was signed when he was 8 years of age, and he had 3 years with us, and he played up front with Benny Cafobe. And Harry was a lovely lad, very quiet, very good skills on the ball, lacking somewhat in some physical capability. But looking back, we've learnt since then that we don't look at the physical side of the game when lads are 8, 9, 10 and 11 and 12 years of age. You can't tell how lads are going to be physically until they've gone through puberty, to be fair. And some are late developers and some are early developers. And this is something that we've learned since. So, unfortunately, I had to tell Harry and his dad and his mum that he wasn't quite up to staying with us at Arsenal, and might be best for him to move on to another club. Obviously, very disappointed. But he didn't go to another club for another 3 years. I mean, he went to his local Sunday club and played, which is remarkable, really. He played Sunday football up to him being 15 years of age. And then he had his trial at Tottenham, and Tottenham decided to give him a chance. But even then, I think, when he was 16, 17, 18, there were doubts whether he was going on to make the grade. But he had his chance, and he's always been a goal scorer. And he's had a wonderful career, and he's been absolutely brilliant as an ambassador for English football, and as a human being, he comes over as a fantastic person. So it's no regret. You think you made a mistake, but you can't make a mistake when you're trying to say this lad's going to be a player at 11 and 12, because so many of them will prove you wrong. If you say he's not going to be a player, they can prove you wrong. Or if you say he's going to be a player, then maybe he won't be. So, but then, so he was the main player that we did let go, who's been outstanding. The other player.
And that's all part of
then, it. Oh, it's all part of, yes, it's all part of academy football, which, I mean, I can look back at taking a group of boys to Belgium. We played in a tournament in Genk, and the person who was looking after us, who spoke English, was a lady from South London. She had a little boy who was 11 years of age, and they were both Arsenal fans, and they looked after us very well and told us where to go for food and when our next game was going to be. We had a really good weekend with them, and they said, she said, well, look forward to seeing you next year if you're invited again. And we were invited the following year, and she was still looking after us. And she said, well, my little boy, he's 12 now, and he's going to play in this tournament. But he's going to a bigger club in Belgium for next season. And we thought, great. And anyway, he played in the final against us. We played in the final. I think we won 3-1. The little lad scored a goal, and when we were leaving, Mum said, can we come over? We're coming over to London, coming over to South London, my parents. Could my lad come and do some training with you for a week? Of course he can. And he came over, little ginger-haired lad, and he trained. Very quiet and shy, and naturally would be playing against all the London lads who were so used to playing with each other, playing with their mates, and so at the end, we said we're glad he's enjoyed his sessions, and we wish him well, and hopefully he does well with his next club. And that was it. And then it's got to be 9 years ago, my friend who worked with me, my right-hand man, Steve Leonard, phoned me one day and said, Roy, can you remember that ginger-haired lad from Belgium? Can you remember his name? I said, no, I can't remember. I can remember the lad, but I can't remember his name. He said, that was Kevin De Bruyne. So there was another player that got out of the...
Wow.
Another player we lost. if only we had a crystal ball, then we'd be right up there with all these players. But let me say, in our defence, yeah. Jose Mourinho, let him go from Chelsea. He didn't see how he was going to develop over the years. So players do develop at different rates, and it's fascinating seeing which boys do go on to make it and which boys don't.
Yeah, but you can tell that even the ones that you do have to let go, you know, when you are having to have that difficult conversation, you want them to succeed still. It just might not be with Arsenal. And that's ultimately what you want, isn't it?
No, obviously, we want every boy to succeed. I mean, the thing is, an academy is like the second home to boys and parents. They spend 2 and 3 nights a week at the academy. They spend all day Sunday attending a football match, whether it's home or away. You get to know the parents ever so well. You're the boys, you know them. You know, and they're all fantastic human beings. And you'd like everyone to go on and make the grade. So it's very, very difficult when a lad doesn't make the grade. But it's something that you try to explain to parents that academy football is no guarantees for a lad to go on to make the grade. But academy football is there to help your boy improve his talent and reach his full potential. Whether that is at professional level, great, but it might probably won't be at professional level. But as long as he's enjoyed the experiences, when he does leave, he can look back with happy memories. And I think that's all we can say about youngsters signing for academies.
That really does come across in the book as well, I have to say. So looking back at your 16 seasons at Arsenal, what would you say some of your proudest moments are there, and why?
Well, I mean, my proudest moment was when Liam Brady rang me and said, "Roy, would you like to come and join the Arsenal Academy?" And so my proudest moment was he said, "Come down and see me at the Marble Halls the next day." So we had a meeting. And driving to Highbury, and then turning right and seeing the Marble Halls and the white building of Arsenal in red at the top, just driving down there and thinking, I'm going to work for this club. This is one of the best clubs in the world. So that was a very, very proud moment. And I was thinking to myself, I'm going to stay here as long as I possibly can, so I'm not going to mess this job up. Unfortunately, I stayed there for 16 years, which was great. But there has been a number of proud moments. I mean, winning the FA Youth Cup with the, I said about our first year of under nines, which was ad hoc, but the second year we learnt quickly and we set up development centres all the way around the London area, north, south, east and west, so that we had a coach in each development centre. Their job was to look for their best eight-year-olds in their area, and every month we'd have get-togethers, so trials. So we really, really vetted all these youngsters, and I think we did come to get the best 15 boys in the London area. And they went on throughout the whole, up to being 18 years of age. They hardly lost a game. They got to the semi-finals of the World Championships and went on to win the FA Youth Cup 5-2 against Liverpool. Sanchez Watts scoring a hat-trick. And that was a great moment for our first intake of academy players to go on and win the FA Youth Cup. And obviously some very good players. But again, here's a food for thought in that we had players like Henry Lansbury, who was an absolutely top player as a schoolboy, and he did well in his career. He went to Nottingham Forest and he went to Aston Villa. But the player who has come through to be the best player of that group is a lad called Luke Ayling. Now, Luke Ayling just managed to get a scholarship. There were people who said he wasn't worthy of a scholarship, he didn't have enough pace, he wouldn't be a player. And then Luke accepted his scholarship. He struggled a little bit, but he gave 100%. He was a great lad and really, really worked hard at his game. After 2 years, he wasn't quite up to getting a pro contract, so he had to go down the leagues to Yeovil, and he learnt his trade at Yeovil and got in the first team and had 2 or 3 years there, and then he went on to have about 3 years at Bristol City, and then he had a good transfer to Leeds, and he's been a wonderful player. He's a Leeds United legend. He's alongside Jackie Charlton and the players, the Billy Bremners of this world. That's Luke Ayling, who was way down the pecking order in that team of under-18s that won the FA Youth Cup. So, you know, nothing is beyond players if they really believe in themselves.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a really good takeaway from that. I have to ask, because Arsene Wenger is like an idol to most Arsenal fans, but what was it like, you know, working with someone so... I don't know. So someone who has such an impact on football and the Premier League. What was it like working with someone as big as Arsene Wenger?
Well, you know, Arsene Wenger, I mean, is unbelievable. His career at Arsenal is second to none. And obviously everybody respected Arsene. And, but his philosophy was he had his first team squad up at Shenley, and the youth team, the academy, were down in Walthamstow. And he relied on Liam Brady, and he was, you know, really knew that Liam Brady knew what his stuff was, so he didn't interfere in the academy or what Liam Brady was doing. So he left it to Liam Brady to do the work with the academy, and any youngsters that did come through, then he would promote the youngsters as well. So they did work together. And I do remember Arsene Wenger two or three times, I would take boys up to the first team training ground and introduce them to Arsene. And Arsene was so good at speaking to the parents and the boys to try and convince them that this is a club worthwhile. So it always approachable, but never interfered. And he'd come down once or twice, not too often, to the training ground, but just come and have a look a couple of times. But he wasn't interfering. He just relied on Liam Brady doing the work for the academy.
Mm, brilliant. And so moving on a little bit in the book, you start to work as a scout for Premier League clubs. What were the qualities then that you were you looking for in the players that you were scouting for?
Well, when I left, I mean, Liam Brady, it came as a bit of a shock when Liam came and sat on my desk and said, "Roy, I'm packing in at the end of the season." This was about March time, And he said the club's appointing Andras Jonker from Holland. And obviously he wants to bring his two men with him make him feel comfortable. So there's not going to be any appointments for myself or David Carr, who were the two people that were closest to Liam in the academy. So it was time to leave. And I was 71. I mean, to be fair, I started my career for Rotherham United as a player at 21 years of age, and finished at Arsenal at 71 years of age. So I can't grumble about that at all. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'd have to accept what was happening. But then I had a call from Norwich City and then Everton a couple of years later. So I did some scouting for Norwich, and then I did some scouting for Everton, and obviously I'm looking at boys at 15, 14, 15 and 16 years of age for these clubs because they were looking for scholars. I mean, you're not going to look for 8-year-olds for Norwich or Everton. But we're looking at the grassroots, and I was very impressed with the grassroots football, to be fair. I went to see games every weekend. And again, the qualities you're looking for is, number one, as a player got skill on the ball, how does he handle receiving the ball and his passing ability? So his skill obviously is very important. Has he got the right physique? Not necessarily small or big, but has he got strength and has he got pace to get around the pitch? Has he got lots of enthusiasm for the game? And does he make the right decisions when he's got the ball? And so these are the main qualities that we were looking for if we felt that there's a player that might be worth, at this level, playing at grassroots level, going up for trials. I've got to say, you know, in the 2 or 3 years that I did this, there weren't too many players at the grassroots who you could send up to a club like Norwich or a club like Everton, because the competition in the London area for players is so... Look at the number of clubs in London, and they're all looking for the same players. And it's so competitive with Arsenal, with West Ham, with Tottenham, Crystal Palace, Chelsea. Wow, I mean, it's unbelievable the standard of scouting and player. Scouts have got to get in there first, really. But it's a very competitive world.
Yes, very. And was there any players that you can think of that you scouted during that time that have gone on to have good careers, big careers?
Well, from the time I was just scouting after I left Arsenal. No, to be fair, there aren't any that I've lost touch with. A few of the players that I did recommend, and you know, the boys that I did recommend, they obviously went there to do their best, but weren't found up to the standard of being signed for the clubs. And I think it is ever so difficult looking at 15 and 16-year-olds at grassroots level who were good enough to go and play with an academy team at that level. When you think they're competing with lads who've been there since they were 8 years of age, and the coaching that those boys have received, then very difficult for a lad who's missed the boat to come into football, unless you find a Harry Kane, of course.
Yes. And what do you hope readers will take from your book, and what message do you have for aspiring footballers and coaches that might read your book and think, that's the sort of footsteps I'd like to follow in?
Yeah, well, the thing is, in football development, there's two sides. There's this coaching side and there's a scouting side. And there's the parental side. And so all three have to be good. The scout has to bring in a player with talent. And the coach has to develop boys with extremely good coaching techniques. And the parents have to handle their boys in the right way. And that means none of those people put any boy under pressure. No need to shout and bawl. Be patient and work as hard and encourage boys to reach their full potential, basically. So I think that's the most important thing, that boys are not put under pressure and they don't feel that if they don't play well, they don't feel that they're letting the parents down or their coach or their scout down. And I think, you know, that is happening well at academies these days, to be fair.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I've got a young nephew that's in primary school playing for Leicester Academy at the minute, and I can't help but observe the other parents of all the other young lads playing there, and they do show those qualities. And I can't help but think, you know, that's a lot of pressure for a very young boy, you know, to be under. And if you don't approach it in the right sort of way, then you can ultimately deter them from wanting to play football. It can make it not enjoyable and not be passionate about it. So that is, I completely agree with that. It's so important.
Well, you're right there. And it is, I think the one thing about a player playing for academy football is that certainly it was the same at Arsenal, and I'm sure it's like this at all grounds, that parents are instructed not to shout, not to encourage boys, their boys on the pitch. Just watch the game, applaud when things are going well. Don't have a go at the referee. And if any parent is out of order, then they're usually taken away and say, well, don't bring your boy back anymore. You know, of this threat, then parents are going to obey the rules, and they do. And that's the one good thing about academy football, whereas you do hear that on Sunday football, where the young referees get so much criticism from the parents, and then there's fights on the pitch between parents and shouting and bawling. It's too competitive, and that's not good. So it's not like that in academy football. Academy football is played in the right way. I think most clubs do educate the parents how to behave.
Brilliant. And we couldn't not speak about this current Arsenal team, could we? I mean, the season they've had, and also from your point of view, seeing players like Bukayo Saka, star for this Arsenal team, who was obviously a big part of the academy. How does it feel to see players like that come through the academy that you were such a big part of creating?
Well, it's a great batch of youngsters that have come through to play in the first team, with four, basically, Eddie Nketiah, Bukayo Saka, Emile Smith-Rowe and Reece Nelson. All started, although Eddie came from Chelsea when he was 14. Chelsea released him, and Bobby Arbour saw him play and brought him in. But he's still a product of the academy. Reece signed as a nine-year-old. Bukayo signed as a nine-year-old for the under-nines. And Emile came in when he was 11. So they've had many years under the influence of the Arsenal Academy and the coaches. And they're doing exceptionally well. And particularly Bukayo is just outstanding. Although, again, you wouldn't think that at nine he was going to be a player at that sort of level. He's gradually developed, and he had a wonderful dad who made sure that, you know, he toed the line, and he was very, very polite and a great attitude to the game. And that was the same with the other three lads as well. So, you know, they had that presence about them, which made you feel that they've got ability, but they've got attitude as well, which is going to stand them in good stead when they do become professional footballers. And as you say, with Bukayo, we all felt for him when he missed that penalty in the European Cup final, but didn't he bounce back? Does that show character? Most players might at his age, losing a penalty like that would crumble, and that's the end of their career, but he's got stronger and stronger. So his mental strength must be immense.
Yeah. It's quite poetic, really, because this week he has signed a brand new deal for Arsenal, signing a long-term deal. So now that's all secure. Yeah. And he's come out saying that, you know, Arsenal is his home. So not only are we now developing these talents, we're able to show them that this is home, and there's a place for stars like him, and hopefully that's a good message for the lads that are currently in the academy at Hale End, and can see the path to the first team. So, yeah, that's brilliant. But what about the season as a whole? Have you enjoyed this season? Because although we have disappointingly fallen at the final hurdle with regards to the Premier League, it has been one of those seasons where it seems We haven't had one like this in a while. You know, I've been a fan for you know, maybe just shy of 20 years. I've never really seen anything quite like this in my lifetime. So have you enjoyed it this season?
It's been a brilliant season, and Mikel Arteta has done a brilliant job. The way he comes over on TV, what he says makes sense, and he really feels for the players, and he's on the players' side. He's got the players motivated, and they're giving him and themselves 100%. And the football they've played has been remarkable, and they knock that ball around it just is incredible, really, and the goals they've scored. So I think that to come second, they've overachieved for this season compared with the last few seasons. Yeah. Manchester City, such a strong side, and maybe a lack of experience lost their way in towards the run into the season. But overall, it's been a fantastic season for all the supporters, and I'm sure every supporter will, really, really have enjoyed this season and look forward to more success next season, basically.
Mm. Yeah. Is that what you think then? Do you think this is just the start of the journey then? Do you think Arsenal are going to go on to build on from this season? Maybe with a bit of clever recruitment, we can then start to push on and become title, remain title challengers and maybe even further trophies like the Champions League. Do you think this is a possibility for Arsenal?
I think Mikel Arteta has got a backroom staff now that know what they're doing. They've got Edu, who is in charge of recruitment, and they've brought some fantastic players in over the last couple of years. And with the youngsters that have had this year's experience, they can only get better. And I would like to see people like Emil Smith Rowe and Reece Nelson. I'm talking about academy players, and Eddie Nketiah come into the limelight a little bit more and become more consistent. Emil has been injured, so he's been out for a while.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can be fully recovered to show what he can do next season. Reece has been in and out the side, and yet he scored two brilliant goals in two games in the last few minutes to give Arsenal the extra points. Yeah. And again, with a run in the team to give him more confidence. But that's up to him. It's up to all those players to prove to the manager that they're consistent enough to be playing in the first team on a regular basis. And those four boys have shown exactly what the academy can achieve. And hopefully under Per Mertesacker, there's a number of other players that may be coming along over the next two or three years.
Mm. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, I think that's about it for today. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you, Roy. You can clearly see your passion and dedication to the sport, which has been so evident throughout this conversation. Your insights into talent development and scouting were obviously truly valuable to Arsenal. And I've got no doubt that readers will find this book an inspiring read. So thank you, Roy, for taking the time to share your story with us. And best of luck with the book. I'm going to pop a link to where you can purchase the book in the description of this podcast. So please check that out. But once again, thank you very much, Roy, for joining us on the Arsenal Ramble.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And I wish you all the best for future. Take care.
You're listening to the Arsenal Ramble.